Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, just to orient our thoughts to where we are and why we're here. And so we have several things I want to cover this morning and a lot I want to cover in our teaching. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this assembly. We thank you for the opportunity of having a place to come with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping you. We pray that all that we do this morning, Father, will be glorifying to you in the power of your Spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's begin with singing 459. 459. I think Brian will be here, but you're stuck with me unless somebody else wants to come up and lead. All right. Jim, you want to lead? Nah. All right. 459. It's got two titles. The title here is The Lily of the Valley, but to some of us, it's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's stand and sing all three verses. Thank you. Here we go. Oh, man. I'm going to play a hymn for y'all called, Brother Ira. Brother Ira. Y'all are going to have to hear about Brother Ira. But I won't sing it for you this morning. Okay, a lot of things to cover. First of all, one of our own, Bill Hess, if you haven't heard, Monday morning, went to the hospital and drove himself to the hospital. I like that. And he drove, the family doesn't like it, but he drove him. And in fact, I want to say something about that. Well, I'll say it right now. Bill got up, wasn't feeling well, and didn't want to impose on family and things, so gets in a car and drives himself. People, if you're single and you have to go, call 911. If you don't want to do that, call me. I'll come. I can't believe Bill, if he felt like Paul and Tyson were busy or something, give me a call. You won't bother anybody. No one's at my house but me. But anyway, he drove himself there. And they did some things and gave him some pain pills and then called Tyson or Paul. Called Tyson to come and get him because he had driven his car. And, well, then everything broke loose from then. And just went by to see Bill Hess today and kind of give you just a quick run. For a while there, they came out and told the family that he had about a 5% chance of pulling through. 5% chance. 95% chance he wouldn't. That's pretty conclusive. Well, he made it through that. And they brought him into ICU, and then they said it's an hour by hour. Anything could happen within an hour for the next 48 hours, and that would be the status. And so he made it through that, and bless his heart, he's off of all the stuff. In fact, he's been eating two meals now on his own, and talking, laughing, and just doing so good. So, Paul, you're Tyson. Give us a report. Just tell us what's going on.
Well, first of all, he said to tell everybody thanks for the prayers. He's still eating to be back himself. He said to tell everybody thanks for the May. He said to tell story with Dave and others calling in and asking about him. And he just can't believe it. So, he's not really in with all the internet and all that. He won't. He doesn't know what all happened. He's been, wouldn't you say, something, especially about maybe when he was just basking in friendship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Herman and several other people were there, Tyson and I, and he was just glowing.
Yeah. Okay. What happened was he was doing really well, and then they had to go back in to be sure and check everything. Was that Thursday?
Yeah, it was Thursday.
Thursday, they went back in, and that kind of slowed him down a little bit. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Get strength every day and smiles. Yeah.
Every milestone that they've been given us. And we know how that happens.
So that's any questions? But he's just doing really good. Now we have a go ahead. So on your way out, you want to sign a card, one card for Bill. All right. What was the other card?
See, if there's other cards for the soldier.
And then there's another card for the soldier. So you got to sign your name a lot of times. And you don't get paid for it either. Absolutely. I noticed you didn't invite me over to help homemade cards. So please take a few minutes of your time on your way out while you're talking. Sign the cards for the soldiers and a card for Bill Hess. And now what's the status on what we're going to do for the soldiers? Do you need anybody to stay and help you?
Whoever wants to. I mean, if 5 people stay, 2 people stay, 20 people, whatever. So we'll just kind of get them.
Now, if you stay, you don't get to take, oh, I think I'll take this and that. It's not one of those kind of deals. So.
Get a little hungry.
But, all right. Very good. Along with Bill Hess, I don't know the accuracy of the report. But according to AOL News, the internet they give you the 1,000 World War II vets are dying every day. And it won't be long before that generation's gone. Along with Bill Hess, who, as you know, I'm sure is a bomber pilot. I'm sorry?
Fighter pilot.
Another man that Bill Harold Black, he's a Marine. He's in the hospital in Alabama. Please be in prayer for Harold and his family. I met Harold a couple of, in September, and just a lot of fun guy. And then another man known by everybody just as Smitty. Smitty was in the Navy. He was on the U.S. Oklahoma when it was bombed at Pearl Harbor. And for a long time, they thought Smitty was the youngest in Pearl Harbor, but they found out one guy lied better than he did by about 4 months. So he missed being the youngest by 4 months. Absolutely. Jim was in the Navy and not doing very well. So we need to be in prayer for Jim, Tisha's brother-in-law. And how's your father doing?
He had a bad weekend.
Okay. We'll continue to be in prayer for Bill. My goodness, absolutely.
Put my uncle in there. 95. Bombing instructor,
wow.
He's got Alzheimer's.
Okay, where are they having?
He's in Wichita Falls.
Wichita Falls, okay. All right. What's his first name?
Ralph.
He's
oldest of 4 sons, and all the other ones are gone.
Wow. Wow. I would be in prayer for Ralph. So this thing is good. I like that. So be in prayer, and let's be in prayer. We have Nathan with us here. We've been in praying for Nathan, and here he is. Does that mean we don't pray for you? Yeah, I guess we can still pray for you. Even though you're here, we can still pray for Nathan. Let's continue to be in prayer for Amber, please. Please continue to do that. Gigi has a friend, Claudia Martin, wants us to be in prayer. Be in prayer for Nancy Becker. She continues to work on the pain in her body. Be in prayer for Vic Edwards and his family. And Gigi has an elder lady living where he does named Mary. Really need your prayers. I went by and just had some prayer time with Mary. So please be in prayer for her. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of. And just continue to be in prayer for each other. I want to talk with you. Yes. Okay. We've been in prayer for the family then. Thank you. I want to talk with you a few moments about Africa. We talked about a church in California that had a major split in regard to the gospel. And then talk with you about another church, kind of in our circle of friendships, both of these churches. They're in the midst, still in the midst of turmoil over money, pastor salary, disposition of money, who should be able to do it. The deacons and one deacon, I guess one or two deacons have already left, and it's still volatile. We need to be in prayer for that local assembly. And I understand some people upset we didn't vote last week about my going to Africa. And I've been in fervent prayer about how to say this. And I hope you'll take it in the warmth that I want to say it. I've been in the ministry 33 years. And I wouldn't take a vote on whether the Holy Spirit was going to send me or not. What I was going to do is just ask you how you felt about it. I didn't mean that this would be a vote whether I went or not, and if it hurt somebody, and I guess it did, I apologize. That was totally my fault in miscommunication. My job is communication, and I miscommunicated. That was never my intent in that regard. And then others were concerned about the money. It will not come out of general fund. We're going to take up some offerings, not today. We'll take up an offering each month. And to that time, well, not one dime will come out of general fund for this. Talked to Dan Hill, came in last Sunday. After his service on Sunday, he came here, and we sat down, talked for a couple of hours, and I got a much stronger understanding of what's going to happen in Africa. My hesitancy, if you want to call it that, my not really knowing what the Spirit wanted me to do, was really based not so much on going to Africa with Dan, but my last trip. It was not, I'm sure it was a guy, because I understand how God sends people, and then those that reject it, they can't say they didn't have the opportunity. They heard it. So I understand that. We used to study missionaries in the church I grew up in and their history. And a lot of times missionaries would come back with one or no converts, wasted life. No one wasted at all. Not in one little bit. They gave the gospel. People reject the gospel. That's not the missionary. God has been faithful to those people to send them the gospel. And so, but Dan sat down. And what we're looking at, we'll go from DFW, this will be in August, we'll go from DFW to Chicago to London, and then we will fly to Abuja, and then to Calabar, and we will spend, oh my goodness, a week. We'll spend a week in Zambia, and people we're going to be teaching primarily are people, this place, a man named Fred and Calabar and then Matthias will go there and will be teaching pastors. And Dan has gone before, and they all come, and they just love coming in, and they'll sit virtually six, seven hours every day for a week, and want more, but they'll do that. And generally, what they do is they share the time with a lot of pastors. And Dan and I talked, and as you well know, outside of Dan, no one teaches what we believe in being filled with the Spirit. So these men are getting a lot of different reports, a lot of different messages. For one solid week in each of these places, then we will leave there, by the way, and fly to Ethiopia, and then from Ethiopia to Zimbabwe. And we will be with Stuart. Those of you that were here when Stuart came and talked to us, that's where we'll be with his group. And I'll talk about Stuart in a moment. And do the same thing with the pastors. Now, on the two Sundays that will be gone, we'll be in local churches and be teaching in local churches. They speak English as far as the pastors are concerned, but on the two Sundays, we'll have to speak through interpreters. But on the during the week teaching the pastors, it will be strictly it'll be English. They all have Bibles. And Dan was just talking to me, and he just kind of opened up. He said, I want you just to go in, Herman, with nobody interrupting. And he told me what he's going to teach, and it's something that we're not going to deal with here. And just give it to him, the filling of the Spirit. And I'm working right now on different ways of presenting the same message every day and with different aspects. And what I like to do when I'm in an environment like this is I'm going to use the pastors. I'm going to have them come up and participate in the learning process, which is a good way to learn when you're not used to just writing all the time like we are. Participate in the learning process and teach them the Spirit-filled life by faith. And Dan is going to make his plans are, he's going to make a documentary disc out of it, DVD, which I'll give to you when I get back. And if it works out, we'll watch it together. If not, just give you copies of it, of the work there. He wants to use it for his mission board, and then he will use it for his church and the mission board and other churches to get a feel of what's going on. So it's a great opportunity for you. It's a great opportunity for us to know that these pastors are believers. And now to just be sure they're solidified in the most powerful and most important message, not the gospel for the unbeliever, but the gospel for the Christian. And Fred, Matthias, and Stuart already, Dan said, excited about the trip coming in. And so that will be the process. The only thing I'll share with you that was funny, on an alarming side, if an alarming side can be funny, but I told him this week, but Dan, we're closing out near the end of his stay, and so we're talking, and I said, now Dan, how much money are you going to carry on your person? How much money are you going to carry, and what kind of money are you going to carry, and this type of thing? And he just sort of paused a minute, and you know when people do that, you husbands and wives know, uh-oh, something's not right. And he goes, well, I'll have more money than you. I'll take more money than you. Okay, it's the way you said it. And I said, okay, why are you going to have more money than I am? Why are you carrying more money? And he looks at me and he goes, well, I call that jail money. I went, jail money? And he goes, well, Herman, you never know. We might have to bribe our way out. And I'm going, oh, this is really good. After you build me up, I'm all signed to go. I signed the bond. Now we're going to carry jail money. This is really good. And he said, I've never had to use it. I said, you're going with me this time, though. And that's the kind of the agenda in regard to what's going to be happening in as far as Africa is concerned. and we'll start our prayer. And what I told Dan, I want to talk with him virtually weekly and just learn more and more, share with you more and more, and solicit your prayers starting now for the men that will be teaching, the people in the church, and then Dan and my health and traveling. I didn't have to have them last time. They just made me take a tablet. I'll find out. I'll find out. Yeah. I took malaria, and not with me. I mean, I took some preventative malaria, and I'll find out. We'll get a report on that. Good. Good. I'll find out. So,
I'm sorry, I forgot what time it is.
We will leave early August. Let me see if I wrote the exact date down. Let's see. No, all I did, I wrote down that we'll be back on a Wednesday night. And from Chicago, late Wednesday night. Just whenever we want to get on a plane. Just whenever we want to get on a plane. It's in August. It's in August. Yes, I'm sorry. It's in early August. Seems like we leave somewhere around the 9th. I think that was it. I don't know what Sunday is. We leave here Sunday after church. So whatever that Sunday is. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. That's all. Yeah. So I'll find that out. And just keep continuing giving you reports in that regard. But do be in prayer. And as to the presentation of the gospel for Christians. The word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior. But not only that, people. One who is led of the Holy Spirit in their giving. Money. They did a special. I'm trying to think, was it 60 Minutes? I think it was 60 Minutes. And they researched a lot of the big evangelists and TV people and how they pointed out several of them, and I'm not going to give the names, several of them had $2 or $3 million homes. Nearly all of them had private jets. They all had just elaborate spending and all. And the TV 60 Minutes series on it made a deal about that. People, they're not teaching the truth. I don't care if they're making $50 million if they're teaching the truth. But not a one of them is teaching the truth. But nobody cares about that. But to me, that's the greater issue. That to me is far greater the issue. Now, one point of vindication of the series that I think is interesting was that, and they showed clips, nearly everyone, including some woman, I don't know who she was, and I couldn't believe it, but anyway, you've got to send money. None of this money goes to me. I mean, they pointed out they're lying. Now, to me, there's the horror, or second horror. The first horror is not teaching the truth. But they right out lie to the people. And they just pointed out that they showed the financial handling. They lied to the people. And here you got people, just to make the point, you've got widowers, scrapping, sending in Social Security money, and these people are doing that with it, and they're lying about it. So that is a crime. That is wrong. They're right out lying to the people. But if they weren't lying and they were getting it and they were teaching the truth, it's probably me at all. But Paul points out, and maybe sometime we'll study it, but Paul points out how there are pastors dash evangelists, missionaries, this type of thing, who do it for money. They're in there for the money. But he said, again, what's at issue? Are they teaching the gospel? And unfortunately, especially the gospel for the Christian, it's not being taught. So they're fraud. They're involved in a fraudulent ministry because they're not teaching the truth. Now they're lying to the people just to get all this money. But there are a lot of churches that do the same thing on a local level. And money is so important, people. I remember years ago, a liberal person heard the truth and he realized that all this stuff was liberal and not true. How can we stop all of this liberalism in the church? And a reply was, stop supporting it. People, you're responsible. We're all responsible for what we do with what God gives us, where it goes. And you start out with the fact is the person teaching the truth? And then are they lying in other areas too? I think that should be considered after watching this series and the way it goes about it. So it's the offering is just a vital part of the whole Christian movement, but it's always been abused, and you understand that. You go to the advancement of radio. Oh, radio's a great thing. We can get out the message. Well, Satan used it. Then television. Oh, it's a great event. Satan uses it. Now the internet. It's a great thing to get out the truth. Satan uses it. The offering. Satan uses it. So we just have to be mindful and led of the Spirit in what we do with our money. That's our part of responsibility in that regard. And that's about as close as you're going to get to a stewardship message from me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so often for the use of this humble assembly, the internet, publication, speaking, this, testimonies, witnessing by the people. And it looks like this year, Heavenly Father, you're going to continue to use this assembly in spreading the gospel to Christians. We're so thankful that you use us. We're so thankful for this assembly, Heavenly Father, and the opportunity to come and worship together and sing and laugh and social, encourage one another. Open the scriptures. Let your Spirit open it to us. And now, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use it, Heavenly Father, to spread the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Spread the gospel of Christ, loving as Christ loved, living in the power of the Spirit by faith. Father, we praise you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. How about that? Okay. It didn't go all the way over. It's in the middle. So next week, John Hintz, but we will have our time together and eating. And what we'll try to do, if you mental help, when we break, we'll put up all the tables so people can sit around and spend some good time talking to John. I think that'll be fun. And then the following Sunday, we will have Easter Sunday, and we'll have communion. But we will have already done the fellowship time together. So that will be in place. Any question about the next 2 weeks? Okay, we got that covered. Philippians chapter 1. To me, this is just so vitally important. It's almost, to me, what we're doing is seeing verses that just open up the truth of the gospel. Truth of the gospel to the believer. And just, it's so powerful to find all of these passages. I didn't see them so many before. To me, this is even as powerful, if not more powerful, than the passage, as you have received him walk, is how we're to live every part of our life in harmony with the gospel of Christ by which we have been eternally saved. So let's begin with the word of prayer. We have one other passage to look at when we finish this one, and I want to get it all done this morning. So let's pray. We're going to pray that we get it finished. No. Heavenly Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see. Thank you so much for bringing in this way, opening our eyes to these things. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. I've studied the book of Philippians several times growing up as a young person in training union and in the church, at the Bible church I went to, Dallas Seminary. And no one ever just solidified what we're looking at here. And to me, this is such a horrible loss on so many people's part. But let's get into our study. Verse 27 now, it says, only, and we've dealt with that now, just concentrate on this. This is the big only. And then from the only aspect, which is what we must do, it says to behave as citizens, as a heavenly citizenship, in a manner in harmony with the gospel of Christ. So that's how we're going to be saved eternally. That's how we're going to be restored spiritually. That's how we're going to live moment by moment in the Christian life according to the gospel of Christ. So that, now here is his heart's desire, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, and this is an ongoing theme with Paul because he does want to go and teach them. And I study this sometime. I think of the wonderful people. We have some people in Arkansas that I need to get back and teach again and face-to-face fellowship with them. But that's the attitude that Paul has here, or remain absent. I may hear a report that, and this is where we left off, you are standing firm in one spirit. Now, last week we studied this one spirit is God the Holy Spirit. And then it says, striving together. So standing firm, that means to continue to walk by faith. Then it says, do something together. Striving together. So you stand firm individually in the gospel of Christ, and walking by the power of the Spirit by faith. You stand firm in that. Then strive together. Striving together is where we left off. And we saw last week, people, you decide whether you're going to live by the law or whether you're going to live by the gospel of Christ. You're going to act differently toward one another if you live by the law, or if you live by the gospel of Christ. You're going to think differently toward one another. You're going to love differently toward one another. If you live by law, you're going to love as you love yourself. If you live by the gospel of Christ, you're going to love as Christ loved. And all you have to do is to watch Christians treat each other, how Christians treat other Christians, and you'll know immediately by what standard they're living by. What standard are they in harmony with? Are they in harmony with the law? are they in harmony with the gospel of Christ? Under the law, you separate, you judge, you malign, you do all of these things. In the gospel of Christ, you restore. That's what the cross is about. And it is so important to be constantly aware, people, that you are in a spiritual warfare, standing firm, striving together. We're in a spiritual warfare. Your spiritual life, your married life, church life, every part of your life, you're in a spiritual warfare if you're a believer. You're in a warfare, people, and you got to understand that. And you got to prepare yourself every day. Mount up the wings newly every day, because we're in this warfare. And in a marriage, if you're fighting each other, then people, the adversary has an easy shot of breaking that marriage up. Easy shot. If you don't want to walk by the Spirit, you're an easy target. Easy to get you distracted, to move you where He wants to. And one thing very must be clear, we always have a good reason for fighting one another, devouring one another, shooting one another instead of striving together. We always have a good reason. Purity, God's righteousness, God's holiness, their sins, doctrine. What reason do we have to restore? What reason do we have to go and embrace the gospel of Christ? It's that simple. It is that simple. But we always have a good reason. You're missing out on a good study. I hope if you're not coming, you're getting it on the internet or somewhere, the study on Tuesday night. We're studying the dragon. And let me tell you about the word dragon. That's a very important concept, because the fundamental underlying concept of that word, dragon, Hebrew, Greek, is to guard. To guard. Now, the dragon is guarding something. In mythology, you've got the golden apples or the castle or something he's guarding. What's the dragon guarding? People, the dragon is guarding the holiness of God. He's guarding the righteousness and justice of God. He's guarding the tree of life. We're going to look at Genesis this week. God posts a guard on the tree of life. Lucifer's guarding. Guarding the holiness of God. And therefore, people, you got to understand, when he goes and topside and accuses the believer, you, he's guarding God's right. He's not trying to bring you. He's protecting God's holiness. God, look what they did. Look what they did. You can't use them. You can't save them. You can't restore them. Look at your holiness. Look what they did. They're out. See what I'm saying? He's guarding. He's bringing you down because he's guarding God's holiness. People, God doesn't need you to guard his holiness. He doesn't need Satan to guard his holiness. This is a crucial point through Scripture. In Ezekiel, Satan is called, and when he was Lucifer, before the fall, the guarding cherub. What was he guarding? Holiness of God, and he's still guarding it. What about Job? What does Satan, or God say to Job? Where have you been? Roaming about. What's he roaming about doing? Looking. Guarding. Protecting. God's holiness. And bring down anybody who doesn't live up to that standard. And that's what Christians do. We've got to judge. We've got to malign. We've got to separate. We've got to put them down. We've got to tear them out. We've got to get rid of them. We've got to protect God's purity. Doing Satan's work of guarding the holiness of God. Well, Jesus Christ guarded it, and you know how he did it? He came, took all of our sins upon himself that we might come to him, come to God. He made the way possible. So, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. Now, we should live in accordance with the gospel of Christ. We need to know what that means. We need to know what our task is. What our task is to walk by faith, to fulfill the works of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you another passage we're getting ready to look at. on Wednesday night, Gospel of John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Gospel of Christ, the works I do, Gospel of Christ again, if you understand that, shall he do also. Therefore, we live according to the Gospel of Christ. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go to the Father. And when he goes, he will send to us another helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, the greater works, not greater people in quantity, but greater in quality, in the sense of what he's saying is, I came for the Jews, you and I get to come for the whole church. We get to come for the whole world, Gentiles. We bring Gentiles into the kingdom. It's powerful stuff. Therefore, we have be together, unity. There's no spiritual self-sustaining. There's no John Wayne's riding off. We work together. We strive together in fulfilling the task that is set before us. Now, look what it says we're to strive together for. For the faith of the gospel. For the faith, in the dative, dative of association, with the faith, pistis is the Greek word, with the faith of the gospel. People, it amazes me how simple what you and I are seeing is. This is not some manipulating a passage of scripture. This is not working on one verse. This is all through the scriptures. You just got to ask yourself, which sounds more like God? Do something for me? Trust me. This isn't difficult. Which sounds more like God? You've got to repent. You've got to confess. You've got to feel sorry. You've got to invite. You've got to make him Lord. You've got to do all these things. Or, trust me. Trust the one I sent. It's so simple. We don't want to believe it. We want it to be difficult. We want it to be complex. We want to, oh, I see it. Nobody else does. This is not some mystery secret here that's hard to see. It's hard to accept. Because faith is against our flesh nature. So as we've seen over and over, this word, pistis, faith, for the faith, can be used in two different ways, people. Now, you got to stay with me. This word can be used in two different ways in the Greek. Actually, a couple other ways, but let's deal with the two major ways for our study. Pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. One, it can refer to that which is believed, doctrine and the idea. Two, the act of faith, the act of believing. And people, I want to tell you something. How you translate a passage changes the whole momentum of that passage. Paul says in one sharp verse, we live by faith, not by sight. If I say we live by doctrine, I've changed the whole mechanic. Now you've got to. It's all about that. If I say we live by faith, by trusting Him, by walking by faith in His Spirit, changes the whole momentum, people. Got to be so careful how we see these words. It changes the passage. Let's look at our context here. Point one. Conduct yourselves in a manner according to or in harmony with the gospel of Christ. All right. What does the gospel of Christ call for? Faith. Point two, standing firm in the Holy Spirit. How do we stand firm in the Holy Spirit? Act of faith. Three, with one soul, mindset, produced by the Holy Spirit. How is the Holy Spirit going to produce the unity of mindset, the unity of spiritual love? It's going to be by our faith. It's going to be by our faith. Four, now striving together with the faith of the gospel, with faith befitting the gospel. with faith befitting the gospel. Striving together with faith befitting the gospel. It's not talking about that which we believe. And people, let me tell you something. Sometimes people hear me say this, and I have been so accused. I heard not long ago from a believer in California, just getting into it, that she was told, oh, that I'm against doctrine. People, this is my life. I mean, when kind of worded humorously with you, so I buy bread and butter. But this is my life, this book. That is just the most asinine thing I could think somebody would say. But you don't hear what I'm saying, so that's what you want to hear. That's what you want to hear. This book, filled with the understanding of truth. But what we're saying here is, people, that we live by this faith, active faith in the Holy Spirit, moment by moment, striving together. Why are we striving together? Because there's a battle. You want me to tell you what the battle is? The battle is faith. Paul says the battle is a battle of faith. Faith is the battle. Faith is how we're to lead. People, doctrine's not the battle. Faith is the battle. To walk moment by moment by faith, to continue to trust Him in every circumstance of our life, to trust Him. We can know the doctrine. You can know the truth, but do you believe it when the battle's on? Do you believe it when they tell you that your father has a 5% chance of living? Know the doctrine. Is it going to become a reality? Are you going to believe it? This is what's so crucial in our life, people. This is what's so antithetical to the flesh. People, the brain, and a lot of people, loves to learn. That's why Paul says in Corinthians, knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge makes arrogant. Love edifies. How do you get that love? From the Holy Spirit. How do you get that love from the Holy Spirit? By faith. I'm afraid sometimes that people think the momentum, if there is one big momentum of my teaching, it's not really faith. I know it sounds like that, but it's not. It's spiritual love. It's loving as Christ loved. But how do we get there? I could talk all day on loving as Christ loved, but if you don't know how to get there, it does no good. You'll try to do it in the flesh. So I have to be sure we understand and remember how we get there. So the battle is faith, because people, our body, our flesh nature does not want to be by faith. What is the basic instinct of man? To perform. That's the basic instinct of man. To perform and be rewarded. And if you don't perform, feel that you do not deserve God's love, you do not deserve these things. But the basic instinct of man is not sex. Basic instinct of man is to perform and be rewarded for it. So, to come along and say, not only is eternal life by faith, but filling of the spirits by faith, living the Christian life by faith, it's antithetical to our whole flesh nature. It's always being threatened in our life, people. Your doctrine's not being threatened in your life every day. Your faith is being threatened every minute. Living by faith. This is what Satan desires to take away from the believers. This is the whole concept of false teachers. You can teach a world of things in the Bible, people. But if you don't teach by faith, it's never going to get to the Spirit. It's going to become academic. So faith becomes the great battle. Now we have a genitive clause. Faith of the gospel. Faith required by the gospel. Faith that characterizes the gospel. Those are legitimate translations of the clause. The gospel calls for nothing but our faith. So the whole verse is about the battle of faith. This section, in my opinion, this section of Philippians 1:27 is close to Galatians 1:6-7, which says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you. Now, what are they doing in Church of Philippi? They are dividing. Church splits going on. Divisions. biting one another, devouring one another. I am amazed that you so quickly are deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not really another, and the reason he's saying that is because it's not going to restore you. It's not another guy. It's not going to restore you. Only there are some who are disturbing you. How do you disturb someone? If you teach that you have to do something other than just faith, that disturbs how you entered into the plan. You entered into the plan by grace through faith. And if I come along and say, no, now you've got to do this and this and this, I'm disturbing how you entered the plan. Okay, let's look at our passage, and then we have one more that I want to close out and look at. Verse 27. Only behave as a heavenly citizen, conduct yourself in harmony with the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, Holy Spirit, with one mindset, mindset of faith, striving together. People, it is a striving together. Don't kid yourself. Marriage is a striving together. Marriage is pardon the expression in this context, marriage is work. It doesn't just happen. Forget the Hollywood movies. It's a battle. Ask Steve. Living alone is a battle. Don't ask me. Ask Steve. Living alone is a battle. Then you bring in another person. You've got another battle. It's a battle. Strive together. Encourage one another. Work together in one another. In the marriage, in the local church. That's my marriage counseling for the day. Okay. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, because he's in prison, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mindset, striving together for the faith according to the gospel. Now look at verse 28. Another reason for unity. Another reason for striving together. We'll just read it. Another reason why Paul wants them to come together. Verse 28, in no way, and I like that, in no way, not even a little bit, in no way alarmed, the word means alarmed or frightened, by your opponents. The opponents are both invisible and visible. Now, what is interesting here, this is a hypox word. It only occurs here in the New Testament, the present passive, which means you receive it. Of tool, it means to be frightened or terrified. Let me tell you the classical Greek word. The classical Greek word was used to describe a group of horses. Now, I've been around horses every now and then, but I make no pretense of knowing horses. But you can ask Jim Passmore. He works with them all the time with his horses. Now, you get a group of them together. So you've got maybe 10 horses together. And all of a sudden, something happens. They are so easily frightened when startled by unexpectedly. And then what do? They just break away, scatter. They just shroom, take off out of the corral, wherever you have them. That's what this word describes. It describes like sheep that are scattered. We have that expression in the Old Testament, scattered sheep, scattered horses, characteristic of breaking loose and being frightened. And now we're talking about what here? A group of believers in a church in Philippi that could easily be scattered and break loose, so that you are no way frightened or alarmed, so that you break loose. I want to add that because that's been good to the word. By your opponents. Now, the opponents, several categories. One, hostile Gentiles, to whom Paul's message was a threat. Secondly, the Jewish crowd, Jewish religious unbelievers, to whom Paul's message was a threat. So you got that group going. False teachers who followed Paul around trying to cause trouble. So you got that all involved in it. So you got all of these, and then finally, the invisible forces, powers of darkness. So every local church is going to face these types of things. But in context, your opponents, hostile Gentiles, to whom Paul's message was a threat. How is it a threat? People, let me tell you something. You better be ready for this. You better be ready for this word right here. It's happened, and it's going to get worse. You as Christians are the enemy of what's happening in America. You don't like and support homosexuality. You don't like and support evolution. You want to talk about God. You want to talk about morality. You want to talk about family. You want to talk about this and that. Listen, you're breaking up society. You're a troublemaker. You just keep quiet. We don't need that nonsense. We're going to the way of lesbianism, homosexuality, free drugs. We're going into this whole deal. And we don't need anybody standing around talking about this Jesus. We don't need anybody with norms and standards in their soul. Opponent. Paul's teaching. He comes in and teaches. These are idols. All these are idols. So who's he hurt? The smith maker over there who's making little gold idols. And people come in and buy them. Now they're not buying the little idols anymore. They're worshiping the true God. Well, I'm sitting here with all these gold idols on my shelf now. Why aren't people buying these anymore? Well, it's that Paul. He's teaching things about Jesus Christ. We got to get rid of him. Got to get rid of him. Jewish, and we could say today, Christian legalist, law. Well, he's not teaching the law anymore. He's not teaching the law. He's getting these Gentile believers to forget about the law. We got to get rid of this Paul. See how he offends everybody? See how the truth offends? So, you stay together. Function together. That's what he's talking about. Now, let's finish the verse. Which is a sign of destruction for them. Faith in the law. Faith in doing. Faith in performance. All leads to destruction. To nothing. But of salvation or deliverance for us. In other words, salvation, one, eternal life, or even spirituality, or three, living the Christian life. It's deliverance. And that too, faith of the unbeliever in Jesus Christ, faith in the believer in the Holy Spirit is from God. Verse 29. So, to you, it has been granted by God the Father. This is beautiful, people. What a beautiful. I wish we didn't have another verse, but I do want to finish up one more verse because this is a great verse to close with. For to you it has been granted. 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 That means something wonderful. By God the Father. For the benefit of Christ. Gospel of Christ. Not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer. For his benefit, to suffer for him. So, often believers look at suffering in life as a sign that God doesn't love them. People don't do that. So often suffering in life is because you have a privilege of suffering for him. Verse 30, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. This is Paul in prison. One more passage on the gospel of Christ. If you'll turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3. The next week John will teach, and then 2 weeks we'll pick up with the next designation of the gospel. The next one will be Easter, and then we'll do it. Okay, so I got to finish this. We can't let this hang over. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And we sent Timothy, our brother. Now note how he talks about his credentials for Timothy, the resume for Timothy. Our brother, believer, God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ. To strengthen, Okay, so part of the work of the gospel of Christ is to what? To strengthen and encourage. People, this is so powerful to see. We've been using the phrase, gospel is for Christians. This gospel of Christ settles it. It's so beautiful. Okay. Fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to what? Your faith. Walking by faith. Again, people, there it is. There's the battle. Our faith. Let's look at a few things. Paul is sending Timothy to the believers. Paul uses 2 points to introduce Timothy. Our brother, that's a term of family relationship. Family of God by faith. Note carefully the next phrase. I'll show you why I want you to note it carefully. God's fellow worker. That's not a manuscript error. Now, what am I saying here is that more often Paul will say, our fellow worker. Or he might say, my fellow worker. I love Philippians 2:25. Just write it down and look at it sometime. My brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier. That's a powerful passage in dealing with the body working together. Now, here he says, God's fellow worker. He does not say my fellow worker, God's fellow worker. And this is a great designation. It applies also to you. It applies to all of us. God has made us his fellow servants in spreading the gospel to unbeliever and believer. And we read already the guy John 14:12. You will do more works than me. So we're his fellow workers. But I want you to note the phrase God's fellow worker. Not just Paul's. God has given us a great privilege here, people. In Corinthians, he says what? We are ambassadors. Here he says fellow workers of God. We're ambassadors of God, fellow workers of God. God is at work doing what? Saving, restoring. He allows you and I to be a fellow worker, to work with him, to go with him. And we said Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker, in the gospel of Christ. This time we have a subjective genitive, where Jesus Christ is the subject of the gospel that is presented. Not the object here, but the subject of the gospel that is presented, the good news that is proclaimed. Now, why did he send Timothy? To strengthen and to encourage you as to your faith. Well, we should take a long time here and go through a long list of passages where these words are used on believers strengthening and encouraging one another. It's such a shame that if a believer sins or fails, other believers want to just pile it on, keep him down, kick him. People struggle, stay away from them. When the cross is just the opposite, the gospel of Christ is just the opposite. Let's note a few things to strengthen. This is an infinitive of purpose of sending Timothy. Sterizo means to set forth, to set in a right direction, to strengthen. And this is accomplished by correct teaching of the gospel of Christ. Spiritual recovery, living according to the gospel. All relating to what? Spiritual love, or loving as Christ loved. Look at the next word. And encourage. I am always amused with arrogant believers. I don't need anybody to strengthen me. I don't need anybody to encourage me. I don't need my husband. I don't need a wife. I don't need anybody. I'm John Wayne. I can walk alone. Not according to Scripture. Not according to Scripture, people. Why do you think Daniel had his two friends go with him? Why do you think Christ sent out the disciples in twos? Why do you think God set up the whole system of man and woman, husband and wife, to encourage? One's in the spirit, one's not. One's strong, one's not. One's weak and one's not. You encourage each other. You don't jump on each other when they're out. And I know couples that do it. You don't jump on each other when the other person's wrong or done something. You encourage. You restore. You look after each other. Because that other person is vital to you. 50%, over 50% of Christian marriages end in divorce. I'm not surprised. We compete with each other, judge each other, malign each other, struggle against each other, as if that woman or that man were your enemy. Instead of someone there to encourage. Every day, to strengthen in regard to the spiritual. All right? To encourage. First to strengthen, and then to encourage. This is a beautiful word. I will put this one on the board because I want to show you something. This word is parakaleo. That's P-A-R-A-K-L-E-A-E. Long E-O. Parakaleo. You know what the word is used for? This word is used for in John 14. This root word, the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter. The Holy Spirit is set as a comforter. I will send you another helper. Comforter. Same root word. I'm going to leave, Christ said. I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And that's what He will do. He will come alongside and encourage. So this is the word means to call near. It means to come alongside of. It means to comfort. And this is what the Holy Spirit does, and this is what we should do for one another in this battle that we're in the local assembly, in your family, in the areas of life. Now, what needs to be strengthened or encouraged? Look what needs to be strengthened and encouraged. Not that they need to lose weight. Not that they need to learn how to handle money. Not that they need to learn how to drive the way that suits you. Not all these kind of things. Let's look at what needs to be encouraged. Y'all aren't laughing. I hope. Okay. As to strengthen and encourage as to your faith. There's our word again, pistis. All right, what does it refer to? Paul is talking about. Is he talking about that which is believed? Or is he talking about how we live? If pistis is referring to doctrine, you change the impact of the verse dramatically. If you take pistis referring to the means of living, the means of applying what you know or doctrine, the means of restoration, you're talking about faith in the Holy Spirit. That's what you're talking about. Talking about, hey, you know these things. Let me encourage you to walk in the Spirit. Let me encourage you to love as Christ loved. That's the word that Paul is using in our context here. Talking about in this battle to walk by faith. Paul makes it clear that faith is the battle. Never is learning doctrine the battle. Never is not sinning the battle. Battle is faith. That's the battle. The battle is faith, people. I like to say, even though I take the chance of being misunderstood, a lot of people make a big issue out of sin. I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't care about your sin. Be careful. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But God doesn't care about your sin. Christ bore the sin on the cross. You know what He cares about? Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you trust me to take care of that? Why did you have to take matters into your own hands? Why did you have to gossip? Why did you have to steal? Why did you have to do whatever it was? Why didn't you just trust me? That's the issue. That's what God is looking for. That's the gospel of Christ. Trust me. You learned it at the cross. You learn it when you're restored from sin. Trust me in everything in your life. My goodness, you trust me with the gospel of Christ to save you eternally, to save you from an eternal lake of fire, from judgment, from separation, all these things. And you can't trust me with something in life? You can't trust me with your health. You can't trust me with finance. You can't trust. You got to do something else. This is what he's looking for. This is the battle. So when he talks about these things, he's talking about faith. So the gospel of Christ, the strong movement in the revelation of the gospel, as we'll see, we'll continue on now, 2 weeks from now, and to the next one. This is a strong one, that the gospel is for Christians. Let's close in a word of prayer. Now, after we close in prayer, please remember to sign some cards. And those of you that want to help, the ladies with the packages, that would be nice. And so next week we'll have our eating together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two passages. Pray now that your Spirit will take the things that we have seen, have them become a reality in our soul. Reality in our life. We close, Heavenly Father, bringing Bill Hess's name to you. Pray that even this day you will strengthen his body and give inner peace to his soul. Be with his family. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.